The title of this morning's sermon is Living Outside of the Tomb. Living Outside of the Tomb, starting with Matthew chapter 28. We'll be looking at verse 1 through 10. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." Let's pray. Father, I ask you to come and to speak through me your words of life. Help us to understand the reality of the empty tomb and the importance of that event for us, both in our life right now, on the day-to-day, living on earth, and in our life for all of eternity. Come with power, we ask. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive and a spirit that would allow us to respond to you. Help us to live outside of the tomb so we can experience the life that you have designed for us to experience. And the church said, today is the day, obviously, that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from the tomb. Last Sunday, we looked at Jesus' entry into Jerusalem by identifying three groups of people that were around him. There was one group of people that were celebrating him and honoring him and worshiping him. They would take off their cloaks, their outer garments, their coats, and lay them on the ground. And they had palm branches that they were waving, a sign of victory. Jesus came in riding on a donkey, which is a sign of peace. It was an animal that was reserved to be used in the temple. And here he is operating as a priest, but yet also a king in that fashion. There was also those in the crowd that were the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they didn't really appreciate the teachings of Christ because he was teaching truth, and some of the people were beginning to believe in Christ and begin to follow him after seeing his miracles and his teaching with authority and his power that he had. And so since they didn't like Jesus, they rebuked him. And they told him to tell your disciples to be quiet and stop all this nonsense. But as they entered into the city, it was Passover, and so there were thousands of extra people. It would be like Lincoln on a game day, you know, where all the thousands of people come to Lincoln. That's what it was like in Jerusalem. Thousands of people would come to celebrate the Passover. And when Jesus came into the city, it caused a stir. Think about, how important would a person have to be to cause a stir in the city of Lincoln on a game day? I mean, I don't cause a stir. You know, I don't know, maybe if the president of the United States were to come to Lincoln, that might cause a stir. People might be like, oh, the president's here. Wow, this is awesome. Jesus comes into the city and it caused such a stir that people began to ask this question, well, who is he? Who is this person? Who is this person? What's so special about him? And those are the three groups of people that we talked about. On Friday, at Good Friday service, we talked about who was Jesus, this man that hung on the cross. Was he God in the form of man? Was he blameless and sinless in his very life? Did he fulfill the law? Was he the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, or was he just another man that died on a cross? The Roman government had crucified thousands of people. Thousands of men had died on a cross, but none of them were taking upon themselves the wrath of God. And so this morning, I want us to continue this question of who is Jesus? We've seen this man come into the city of Jerusalem. We've seen him die on a cross, and today we're telling you that he is risen from the dead. And so we just read that in Matthew chapter 28. And so the question for us this morning is, do you believe what we just read in Matthew 28, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Because if you believe that Jesus did do that, then you're starting to answer the question correctly of who was Jesus. He wasn't just another man. For every other man that has died has remained in the tomb apart from God moving. And there's some examples of that in Scripture, in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament. We'll look at one of them in a little bit. But let's turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see the first sermon that the disciple Peter preached. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus has already been crucified. He's already been raised from the dead. He's already ascended into heaven, and the promise of the Holy Spirit has already been given to mankind. And in Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 22, Peter stands up and begins to explain and preach by the power of the Holy Spirit what has taken place. It's the first recorded sermon of the early church. And so this morning, let's look to see how Peter explains who Jesus was. Again, Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Peter says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Listen closely. "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 24, Peter states plainly that Jesus was God, that he was who he says he was, and that Jesus proved that through his miracles, his signs, and his wonders. How bizarre and crazy would it be for God to send us the answer to our biggest problem, our sin nature, and then not tell us about it? If Jesus was God in the form of man, and he died on the cross fulfilling the law, taking upon himself the wrath of God, but yet God did not make that plan known to us, that would be unexcusable. But God, in his grace and his mercy, prophesied clear back in Genesis chapter 3, all the way through the Old Testament, hundreds of prophecies to show that when this man comes and fulfills these prophecies, you know that it is the Messiah. You know that Jesus has come. The Christ has come. And Jesus came, and he's the only man in all of history to fulfill those Old Testament prophecies. Born of a virgin, all these signs and wonders that he did, including being raised from the dead. All these things were told to us before they ever occurred, was prophesied hundreds of years before that form of execution was ever even invented. Rome was the one that brought in crucifixion. Rome wasn't even in power when it was prophesied that Christ would die hanging on a tree. Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the prophecies. And Peter, the pains of death. Some translations say loosed the agony or the pain of death. Because it is not possible that he should be held by it. You see, death is Satan's end game. It comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life to the full. This morning, if you are not satisfied with life, if you feel like you've gotten the short end of the stick, if you don't have a peace in your heart, it is because the enemy has come life. And Jesus proved that he has the power to give life when he walked out of that tomb. Go with me to John chapter 11. We're going to come back to Acts 2 and finish up Peter's sermon, but I want us to flip over to John chapter 11, because in John chapter 11, we see another encounter. Jesus himself, this time, is standing outside of the tomb, and he's going to do an incredible thing here, but I want us to get the story. In John chapter 11, we'll start with verse 23. Jesus, one of his friends, Lazarus, has died. And he's having this conversation with Lazarus' sisters, and he says to them in John 11, 23, what a statement that is. Martha answered, Lazarus' sister, says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, listen closely, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though lives by believing in me will never die. Pretty powerful statement for some man to make unless he is God in the form of man able to fulfill that very statement. If I told you, if you just believe in, you would think I'm crazy. Amen? You should think I'm crazy. Jesus makes that statement, but he backs it up by fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy, creating his power and authority over nature, over the demonic, over sicknesses and diseases, and he's about ready to prove what he just said. Jesus is talking about here when your physical body dies, even though you die, that there is a second death. And that second death is total separation from God for all of eternity. That is the second death. And my friend, I do not want you to experience that second death. The Bible says it is appointed for a man once to be born and then to die. This physical body will not live forever. This physical will last for all of eternity. And the question as to where you will spend eternity is answered when you answer the question of who is Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus' statement right here, he just said that I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me will live even though he dies. As a pastor, part of my job is to do funerals and not know Jesus Christ in their life. There is no hope in the room. There is wailing. There is despair. There is agony. There is grief. There is pain. But whenever there's a funeral of a loved one who knew Jesus Christ, there is joy. It's a celebration. I long to be at, you know, where we always say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? And if God was so good, why do all these horrible things happen? Well, there is a place. The Bible says there is no tears, there is no sorrow, there is no sickness, there is no disease. All that stuff is a result of Adam and Eve sinning against God, rebelling against him. You know what? In the garden, there wasn't sickness and disease. And God is restoring us back to that place. But we can only get there if we will believe in Jesus, not experience that second death that Revelation tells us about. Listen to Martha's answer. Martha is going to answer this question of who is Jesus. She says, yes, God who is to come into the world. Martha answered the question. Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah. I believe that you're more than just a man. I believe you're more than just a prophet. I believe you are the very Son of God. Skip down to verse 2. Lazarus has been dead for several days. And in fact, he's going to tell them, you know, to remove the stone. They're going to say, Jesus, he stinketh in the King James. He stinketh. In other words, he's going to be smelling. We don't want to open the tomb. Why would we want to do that? But in verse 40, Jesus says, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of Christ? You will see the glory of God in your life. If you will believe in Jesus Christ and believe in what the Bible says about him, you will experience the glory of God in your life. So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, that you sent me. So even in this illustration that Jesus is doing, he's going it very slow so everybody can understand what is taking place. He's praying to the Father so they will understand that he has a connection with the Father and that the God the Father, will hear his prayer. When he had said, The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen? You see, death wasn't strong enough to hold Jesus in the grave. And believe me when I tell you that, but death wasn't strong enough to hold Jesus in the tomb. Death wasn't strong enough to hold Lazarus in the tomb when the giver of life is standing outside that tomb saying, come out, come to life. Death wasn't strong enough to hold holy men of God. And he gives up his spirit. In Matthew chapter 27, the Bible tells us that there was an earthquake, the tombs were open, and men came out of their tomb. Death is not able to hold back the power of God in our lives. And I will tell you this morning that if you will believe in Jesus Christ and believe in the words that he says, death will not have the power to hold you in the grave either. That is the power of God, that what we celebrate today. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead, but big whoop if it doesn't affect us. It does affect us. And if you back either. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, Romans 8, 11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit. You see, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb, he commanded that those grave clothes be taken off. When Jesus came out of the tomb, guess where he left his grave clothes? In the tomb. And you and I are called by God as believers in Christ Jesus to live outside of the tomb. You see, friend, your past is not strong enough to keep you from experiencing the life that God wants to give you today. Your weaknesses are not strong enough to keep you from experiencing the life that God wants to give you today. Your social status, your financial situations are not strong enough to keep you from experiencing. But there is one thing that is strong enough to keep you from experiencing the life that God wants for you, and that is unbelief. Unbelief. If you leave here today and saying, I don't believe in Jesus. If you leave here today like one of those people in the crowd rebuking Jesus, then my friend, that will keep you from experiencing the life that God wants to give you today. That will keep you in the tomb. That will keep you in a place of hopelessness, a place of despair where there is no life and purpose. And I believe here today there are those that are hurting inside. I believe there are people today that have been hurt, maybe by the church in wherever you grew up or whatever it might be. There are people that have been hurt by your parents, people that have had expectations that haven't been met. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus offers to you life. I'm here to tell you that Jesus offers to you life, and this life is a life outside of the tomb. It's a life freed from our past. The grave is Satan's main emphasis. It's his victory. And he wants nothing more than for all of us to experience spiritual death. He wants nothing more than to kill and to destroy and to steal from you. Don't let him do that today. Don't let him steal from you the opportunity to walk out of the tomb and live the life that God offers to you. And it's not a life of rules and regulations and all these things. It's a life of freedom and a relationship with the God that created you and gave to you your physical life. Why would you not allow him to give to you spiritual life and experience the joy of what he has to offer? He's already paid the price. All we have to do is come and receive. All we have to do is believe. And as Jesus says, if you will believe in him, though you die physically, you will not die spiritually. And you will live forever in the presence of God. And that's only possible because of Jesus Christ came out of the tomb. If Jesus wouldn't have come out of the tomb, then there's no life for us to experience. But because he came out of the tomb, because he called Lazarus out of the tomb, in the Old Testament, they brought other people up out of the tomb because God, through the prophets, raised people from the dead. God is a life-giving God. Amen? And he offers to us life today. Do not stay in the tomb. And you have not been given life in Jesus Christ this morning if you are a believer in Christ. You have not been given that life so you can hang out at the tomb. I don't think that Lazarus after he came out of the tomb, hung around. You okay, Stan? And get him a drink of water, maybe. We don't have any up here. You okay? No, you're all right. Are you okay? Okay. Hey, she went to get you a drink of water. If that helps. You got a frog in there? I have a great frog joke I can tell you later. You have not been given life. This morning, if you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and you believe that he is the Son of God and he lived a sinless life, you were not delivered and freed so that you could stay around the tomb. And the tomb, for us, spiritually speaking, is that of which Christ has set us free from. You see, there's freedom in Christ. Freedom from our past. You know, the Bible says that God will heal us of our backslidings. He will free us. There's freedom in Christ. There's freedom outside of the tomb. And we have that freedom if we will believe in Christ. So if you are freed from sin, you are freed from the works of darkness that lead to the grave. As a child of God, we have no business hanging out with darkness. We have no business hanging around the tomb. We have no business living our life the way that we used to live before we came to know Christ. Amen. We don't walk around with our grave clothes on anymore. That would be silly. That'd be ridiculous. We wouldn't do that. We've been freed from those things. In Galatians chapter 5, and there's a few other places that give us some lists of sins. And this isn't a comprehensive list. We're told simply in 1 John that basically, if you know what you're supposed to be doing and you don't do it, that is sin. But if you are a Christian here this morning, you profess Christ, then you're not to be hanging around the tomb. What does that look like? Well, it means we're not walking in the sin. We're not walking in darkness. We're not going back to that thing that we've been freed from. Like adultery, sexual immorality, drunkenness, idolatry, hatred, strife, pride. These are the things that many times as Christians we get freed from because God is faithful to forgive us of our sins, amen? And we experience life. We have peace and joy in our heart. We haven't experienced before. The pains and the hurts in our hearts have been healed. Praise God. But yet then we kind of go back to what the world does. We go back to the tomb. We go back to the very things that we've been freed from. We go back into bondage. We go back into addictions. We go back into these things that just bring pain and more death into our life. Friend, we've been delivered from those things. Do you believe that this morning? You're freed from those things. So let's live outside of the tomb. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, start with verse 25. We'll finish up Peter's sermon here. Acts 2, 25. David said about him, Jesus. This is David, King David of the Old Testament. I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Listen closely. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices and my body also will rest. Why? Because you will not abandon me in the realm of the dead. David, the prophet David, the King David, saw forth and he prophesied about the coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. He says, therefore, my heart is glad. This morning, is your heart glad? Do you have gladness in your heart? And my tongue rejoices. What's on your tongue this morning? And my body will also rest in hope. Do you have hope this morning? David did, and the reason he did was because he believed that God would not abandon him in the realm of the dead. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption, to see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Amen? There was joy outside of the tomb. There was joy to those that received Jesus Christ in their life. There was a joy in the presence of God. Peter's actually quoting from Psalms chapter 16 when David wrote this. With at the end of it, he writes, in your presence is joy. There's joy in the presence of God. There's not joy in the tomb. Friend, we know that. We've all experienced life enough to know that there are certain things in life that are joyful and that are satisfying. And then there's other things in life that bring pain, that bring destruction, that bring hurt, that bring division. And God has freed us from those things. And David says, I have gladness. I have praising on my lips. I have hope because God will not leave me in the grave. And friend, this morning, you can leave here today with that same reality that you have hope in the work of Christ. Sins forgiven. Freedom from the past, freedom from the pain, freedom from whatever it is that's happened to you that's caused pain and sorrow. You can be freed from those things. And you can leave here today walking outside of the tomb and living outside of the tomb. Not going back to those things because they only lead to more death and destruction and more bondage. He says, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned in the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Peter is preaching this sermon, and he says, I've witnessed it, I've seen it. This morning, who is Jesus? Do you believe he rose from the dead? Do you believe he has the power to free you and to deliver you from death? Do you believe that he is who he says he is? David believed it. Peter believed it. Peter witnessed it. And he preaches for us a message that we can take assurance in. I want to look at two other portions of scripture. Romans chapter 6. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. If we are to live outside of the tomb, it means we are to live free from those things that bring us back to the tomb. Those things don't have life in them. And in Romans chapter 6, we'll start with verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He asks this great question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? In other words, is it okay to hang around the tomb so that grace, God's grace, you know, God is, you know, right before this he says that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So no matter what your past is, no matter how horrible you think it is, the grace of God is greater than your past. And that grace of God leads you to that life that God offers to us. And so some might say, well, if God's grace is there, then I can just live like however I want. I can continue to live in the tomb if I want. I can continue to do what I want to do because God will forgive me, right? I'll do it and then I'll ask for forgiveness later. Did you ever do it to your parents? Don't raise your hand because we will notify your parents. But we do that. Well, I'll just do it, then I'll ask for forgiveness later. And so this question was being asked, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In other words, we're dead to sin because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And so we are dead to sin. It says, know you not that as many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's that new life that God offers to us. Positionally, he brings us out of the tomb. He removes the grave clothes. He removes our past. He removes the pain. He removes those sins and the guilt and the shame that come with those things. We all have them in our life. God has freed us from them. And now he says, now let's go live a good life. Not a life of do's and don'ts, but a life of relationship. There's freedom. And because of freedom, we live a certain way. Not because to get God's, you know, reward or get God's favor. Therefore, we are buried with him with baptism, verse 4, into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. There it is. Friend, your belief in Jesus Christ identifies you with Christ on the cross. Therefore, the judgment in your life has been satisfied through Christ. And just as Jesus was buried and raised from the dead, the Bible says you have been raised to newness of life. And that's that new life that God has for us to live in. And it's a good life. It is a good life. Verse 6, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lusts. We are freed in Christ Jesus. The life is there for you today. Flip over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We become in Christ when we put our faith and trust in him. And the Bible says, in this new life, when you get freed from the tomb and you're living outside the tomb, there is no condemnation. That's one reason that a Christian has so much peace in their life, because there's no condemnation. We're not condemned. We're not condemned. There is no condemnation. Say amen if you like that. That's a good deal, isn't it? Jesus was condemned. Jesus took on the judgment of God for us, and he offers to us a life, and so you and I can live free of condemnation. We can live free of God's judgment in our life. But listen to what he says. Which those are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Some of your translations may have that in the footnote, depending on what translation you're using. But then Christ, when we're walking with him, we'll see that. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Powerful, powerful verse that is greater than the law of death, and that law of life is available for us. Just as the grave wasn't strong enough to hold the life giver himself, Jesus, his law of life was greater, more powerful over the law of sin and death. He was able to get up and walk out of that tomb. Just as the grave wasn't able to, life was stronger than the law of death. And just like in our life, whatever our past is, whatever disappointments we've had, whatever pains and sorrows we've had, there is no greater power than that of God and his law of life that he offers to us. And today, if you will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ with God, freedom from condemnation, freedom from the sorrow of the past. That is what God has done on this Easter Sunday, and he makes it available to us. I close today by just asking those questions. What is your answer? If you have said in the past that he is the Messiah, I ask you today, are you living outside of the tomb? If you're a born-again Christian here today, or you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, whether that be 20 years ago or 2 weeks ago, are you living out there? Friend, don't hang around there. There's nothing there of value. God didn't deliver us and free us from our past, free us from a sin and its dominion and its power so that we could go back to it. If you came here today as the one who rejected him and the past, willing to repent and receive forgiveness of sin and experience the life outside the tomb. If you came here today as one that was just curious, kind of wondering about this Jesus thing, kind of looking at him. Maybe you've attended Sunday school when you were a child and you kind of maybe attended youth group for a little bit. If you came here curious today, I ask you, are you ready to repent and receive the life that God offers for you? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to read Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This verse tells us what we have to do in order to receive the life that God offers to us. Romans 10, 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and will believe in him and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. To answer this question of who is Jesus? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, for anybody that calls upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. I'm going to close in prayer, and then after that, I'm going to ask those here today that would like to make that confession of Jesus Christ with your mouth after you believe and you make your answer to that question in your heart. We want to give you, a Bible. We've got some discipleship material. We got some stuff we want to give you just to help you live outside the tomb. Again, it's not rules and regulations. It's so beyond that. It's a relationship. It's freedom. And I know for certain that there are people here today that are hurting and you've been looking. This is the way out of death and destruction. And whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No matter what your past is, no matter what the pain is, no matter what the disappointment is, the law. Father, this morning we say thank you for our time together. We say thank you that we get to celebrate the empty tomb. We say thank you for the life that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray for those here today that have already made that confession. They already believe in their heart that you were who you say you were. Father, I pray for them, Lord, that they would not live around the tomb. They would not live with their grave clothes on. They've been set free and delivered from those things. Lord, may they live in that way, experiencing that life that you offer. And Father, I pray for those that have grown up in the church. They've heard a few sermons or maybe met with some people that have talked to them, maybe a grandma or a mom or a dad or a brother or sister that have shared with them Jesus. I pray that today, God, they would be willing to take that step, repenting of their sins, as I have done and so many of others have done. Lord, I pray for those today that have rebuked you in the past. They don't believe, they buy into this whole church thing or Jesus thing. Lord, I pray that today, God, you'd even show yourself strong in their life. You would offer that life to them as you've already died on the cross for their sins and you've done all the work. All we have to do is to believe in that, to confess that, to receive it, living outside of the tomb, freed from our past, freed from our guilt and our shame, and living in that hope that you will not leave us in the grave. Thanks for such a wonderful day, wonderful time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that would like to accept Jesus Christ in your life, I'm going to invite you to come forward over here on this side. Everybody else, as you go, please go out that way. Hold them while we're able to pray and stuff, and we'd love to just offer you that life of Jesus Christ.